So tonight we're going to follow on our series of prayers, and tonight is about Jonas the prophet, so the prayer of repentance. So before we go into the prayer of repentance of Jonah, this prayer is written in the chapter 2 of Jonah. Jonah's prophecies are 4 chapters. It's a very short prophecy. But allow me to go through the 4 chapters, and maybe we can, contemplate together. So before we start that, I'd like to give you some background. First, who is Jonah? So Jonah is a Hebrew prophet, one of the minor prophets. He's a Hebrew name. His name signifies dove. And he was from a village, a little village, beside Nazareth. The village is called Gath Hefer. The importance of the prophecy of Jonah is because that prophecy is the only prophecy in the Old Testament that deals with the repentance of a heathen nation. يعني النبوة بتاعت Jonah, يوناني النبي, هي نبوة بتتكلم عن التوبة بتاعت شعب نينوى. هو كان شعب أممي, ما كانش شعب من اليهود. كتير من الأنبياء اتكلموا وتنبأوا عن أمم, لكن النبوة الوحيدة الكاملة اللي اتكلمت عن توبة شعب أممي مش من شعب ربنا, لو مش من شعب إسرائيل, كانت النبوة بتاعت جونا. أثناء الملك بتاع جيروبوام 2, كان الإسرائيل كانت enjoying a lot of prosperity. Why? جيروبوام 2 inherited a big army from his father with no problems, whether inside or outside. So he was able to restore all the northern kingdom of Israel. So he went all the way to Damascus. And because the empire of the Assyrians was weak, he was able to restore it even further. So he extended the northern territory of the kingdom of Israel. So they enjoyed a lot of prosperity. What was the result of that? You think to yourself, well, great. This is an evil king. God gave him a lot of blessings in his victories. So they should be worshiping, blessing the only true God, because they have the prophets and they know the knowledge of the true God. Contrary to that, they did not. They felt that there is no pressure from outside, so they followed all the practices of the peoples around them. واحنا عارفين ازاي كانوا هم بيعبدوا الالهه دهيه, لدرجه ان هم كانوا بيقدموا احيانا اولادهم ذبايح للآلهة الوثنية دي. يعني تصوروا حد يقدم ابنه أو بنته ذبايح علشان يرضي الإله الوثني. فكل الـ practices بتاعتهم كانت awful practices. They thought إن هم they will always enjoy God's favor. So God will always spare them. So that's why God sent them Amos the prophet, and he prophesied that he will send them to exile even further than Damascus, to Assyria. يعني ربنا قال لهم أنا هعاقبكم على الشر اللي انتم بتعملوه ده, وعلشان كده الملوك بتوع أشور هياخدوكم أسرى. وده حصل فعلا. طب كل الباكجراوند دي ليه بقى؟ علشان نعرف ان مملكة أشور دي كانت العدو الأول لمملكة إسرائيل. It was the chief threat of the kingdom of Israel. It was the Assyrian Empire. So imagine, God now commissioned his prophet Jonah to go to the Assyrian Empire, the chief enemy of Israel, and prophesy the destruction of their capital city, Nineveh, if they don't repent. يعني لو احنا fast forward to the 21st century, if we want to give an example, يعني today, it's like, you know, God is sending his prophet to Daesh to ask them to repent. And these people were wicked people. They didn't know that the true knowledge of God. And they had evil practices. So that's why you can imagine why Jonah was reluctant. You know, he didn't want to go. I want to show you a map of where he was supposed to go and where he ended up going. God asked him to go to Nineveh, east, northeast, 550 miles from where he was, from the northern kingdom of Israel. Instead, he took, he paid a fare, went to Joppa, about 33 miles south, and he boarded a ship going to Tarshish, 2,500 miles away west in the Mediterranean Sea. Nowadays, Tarshish, they say, it's one of the ports of Spain. So, as you see, he was rebellious to God's will. يعني أحيانا يعني الموضوع كان مقصود 100%. مش ممكن. يعني ربنا قال له روح إيست. راح وست. آخر الدنيا. الناحية الثانية. Maybe one of the reasons why he didn't want to go also to Nineveh is he thought that God is very abounding in his love. God is very compassionate. God is very slow to anger, because I know him. And when he sees, like, you know, the people of Nineveh repenting, he will relent. So what do you want? But he wanted something else. He wanted God to punish them for their wickedness, because they were the enemy. He wanted God to rain them, like, you know, fire, like God did with Sodom and Gomorrah. So maybe that's what he was thinking. And the other thing is, he didn't want to prove to be a false prophet. Because if that happens, then he would be a false prophet. Because he prophesied something that it doesn't happen. It didn't happen. So anyway, you see, that's a sin. Because he refused the will of God. It's a sin. We do the same exactly. And sin bring storms. عارفين لما الواحد يبقى يسيب ربنا ويعمل هو على كيفه على مزاجه وبتفكيره هو وبتدبيره هو مش بس هو اللي بيبقى تعبان لأنه فصل نفسه عن ربنا وكمان ممكن السن دي تسبب tribulations ومشاكل للآخرين اللي حواليه ممكن تسبب مشاكل للفاميلي بتاعته ممكن تسبب مشاكل للكنيسة لأن احنا كلنا جسد المسيح مش الكنيسة هي جسد المسيح فتصوروا لو كل واحد فينا بخطاياه ما تابش على الخطايا دي ايه اللي هيحصل فاحنا بندعي في الجسد بتاع المسيح اللي هي الكنيسة يعني كل اللي انا عايز اقوله انه السن بتاعتي انا اللي انا مش بتوب عنها او اللي انا مش حاسس بيها ممكن تأثر على الكنيسة كلها كلها That's what happened with Jonah here. So he boarded the ship. What happened? And God sent a storm on the ship to bring Jonah back. But these sailors were innocent people, right? The sailors were innocent. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't sin towards the true God. But because the sea was growing very rough, they were God-fearing people, even though they were not of the fold of the people of God, they didn't have the privilege of knowing God, but they started to pray each one to his God. They started to pray, asking for safety, and it didn't come. The sea grew wilder. So they started to throw the cargo. That makes sense. You threw the cargo, you lighten your ship so you can float, so you can survive. And it didn't work. When I read this, like, you know, sentence of throwing the cargo, you know, I felt like, you know, I think we should also throw the cargo. Don't you think? كل واحد فينا عنده كارغو ماشي بيه. عنده كارغو. عنده حمولة ماشي بيها. معطلة. معطلة ان هو ينمو في محبة ربنا. او معطلة ان هو حتى يرجع لربنا. احنا عندنا حاجات كتيرة شغلانة ويمكن خطايا كمان كتيرة عايشين فيها واحنا مش حاسين تماما. وبعد كده بنحس ان احنا مش بننمو روحيا. او مش بنتوب. So you got to think of throwing the cargo, the worldly cargo. It may be lack of faith. It may be fear. It may be gossiping, judging. It may be bad habits. So many things, so many cargo you can think of. Each one of us know. So they threw the cargo, and it didn't work. So the captain of the ship went to Jonah. Where was he? He was under the deck, sleeping in deep sleep. Deep sleep. So he woke him up, said, wake up and pray to your God. Everybody is praying for safety. Pray to your God. In the meantime, the sailors decided to cast lots. And they had faith that through that lot, God will reveal to them the person who is the reason of that trouble. They casted the lot. The lot fell on Jonah. So they went to Jonah and started to ask him, where are you from? What do you do? So he told them, I am a Hebrew and I worship the God who created the heaven, the earth, and the sea. They were terrified. Why? They were terrified because they think to themselves, if now Jonah's God is the God of the sea, and now we are in the sea, and the ship is gonna break, and we're gonna perish. So we are in Jonah's God's hand. We are in his hand. He is the true God. They were terrified. Also, they were terrified because they thought, okay, so he is a prophet, and because of his own sin, he got punished by God. And he's a prophet, but he got punished for that sin. What will become of us guilty of sin? So many. So they asked him, what shall we do to you for the sea to calm down on us? And he told them, pick me up, throw me in the sea, and the sea will be calm, because I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. جونا كان يعني صريح مع نفسه. كان عارف إن هو غلط. كان عارف إن هو يستحق العقوبة ده هي من عند ربنا. وقال لهم كده. اعترف. He repented. قال لهم أنا السبب. ارموني في البحر. و يعني he was ready إن هو to give up his life to save the innocent sailors. So God, well, for sure, they threw him in the sea, and the sea was very calm, so they were terrified. They offered sacrifices to God because they knew that he is the true God, and they believed in God. See, God used the disobedience of Jonah to bring back these heathen sailors. ربنا بيعمل كده على طول, لأن ربنا عايز إن الكل يخلصون وإلى معرفة الحق يقبلون. ربنا عايز كده. ما تفرقش كتير الناس دي من أنهي بلد ولا من أنهي جنسية, ولا ربنا خلق الإنسان علشان يعيش معاه في حب وفي حياة أبدية. فكان استخدم الخطية بتاعة جونا علشان يتوب بيها السيلرز. And they believed in God and they sacrificed to him. The Lord, in the meantime, appointed a great fish, as we read in Jonah 1:17, to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. You know that Jonah was a type of Christ. As Jonah stayed in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, our Lord Jesus Christ stayed in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. He was a type. Inside the belly of the fish, Jonah was praying. Imagine yourself, you are confined in that belly, dark, for 3 days and three nights. You was not given any assurance whether you're going to stay there for 3 days or for 30 days. You had no hope whatsoever to come out because you needed a miracle. And he thinks to himself, yeah, I needed a miracle, but why would I deserve a miracle to start with? Because I have sinned against God. I have rebelled against God. So for sure God has cast me away. That's his conscience. His conscience was telling him that he doesn't deserve that miracle. Well, after all, there is nobody in the history of mankind that was cast in a fish and came out alive. He was buried alive. But while he is, like, you know, thinking of all of this, he's fearing, like, you know, for his life. He was telling the Lord, see, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. We read that in Jonah 2:2. Out of the belly of Sheol, Sheol meaning the realm of the dead. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. Jonah 2:3. So I wonder to myself, every single time you say, God answered you. And the next verse is, God heard your voice. How do you know? You are still in the belly of the fish, right? You didn't come out. There was no message from God that you're going to come out after spending there 3 days. No guarantee. So what was that? That was the faith. So the prayer of Jonah was a mix of a prayer of repentance. He's feeling his guilt. And in the meantime, he's providing thanksgiving to God. Because even though I am in the belly of the fish, even though I feel that I am dead, but I know for sure that God will save me. I trust his promises, even before they are fulfilled. I trust God. I know he loves me, and he still loves me even if I'm a sinner. And he will continue to love me. That was his prayer, a prayer of faith, fear, providing, like, you know, thanksgiving because he knew that God is going to save him eventually. He told him in 2:4, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. So now, in the physical sense, he's inside the belly of the fish, but with the eyes of the faith, he see himself outside the fish, going to Jerusalem, worshiping God. I will look again toward your holy temple. He said, I went down. God brought my life up from the pit. It was a pit. Imagine yourself, like, you know, he's thrown in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. Who knows? Maybe 1.5 kilometer deep. And he is inside. What hope he has? But a miracle, but God, without faith, how can he make it? That was Jonah, a man of great faith that God is going to save him. And then in verse 8, he says, those who observe worthless idols, lying vanities, worthless idols, meaning lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. What a verse. What a verse. This verse can apply to the whole world today. Because if you look of it, like, think of it, you know, even the sons of the kingdom, even us, sometimes we follow our own fantasies. Sometimes we follow our own inventions. We leave God, we separate ourselves from God by our sins because we don't like his will. And we separate ourselves from the mercy of God with that. So we forsake our own mercy. That verse applied to Jonah, and it applied to the sailors before they believed in God. They were praying each to his own God. They were following idols. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. That verse applies to him. Those who flee from the service of the Lord follow their own fantasies, follow their own worthless idols. Those who think that they can flee from under the eye of God, they also observe worthless idols. يعني أنا مش فاهم لو ربنا ده هو اللي عمل الأرض والبحر والكون كله لو أنا ما رحتش نينوى ورحت يعني طرشيش تفتكر ربنا مش هيشوفني يعني ربنا عارف كل حاجة ربنا شايفني لو رحت في آخر الدنيا لو نزلت تحت الأرض ربنا شايفني ربنا owns it all. So God allowed the whale to swallow Jonah. Okay, lesson here is, do not let God have a whale to swallow you. يعني انت لازم علشان ترجع لربنا ربنا يبعت لك حوت علشان يبلعك او يبلعني ليه ربنا بيتكلم معانا بمحبته بيبعت لنا رسائل علشان يرجعنا لحضنه واحنا مش سامعين او مش سائلين او مش عايزين فربنا يعمل ايه عشان ربنا بيحبنا جدا يوم يبعت لنا حاجة تانية يعني أكتر شوية دي أكبر شوية ولو فضلنا برضو كده يعني ودن من تين ودن من عجين ربنا حينتهي إن هو يبعت لنا إيه ويل I hope إن إحنا ما ندخلش في المستوى بتاع الويلز زي ما جونا دخل في الليفل ده بس it was the only way to make Jonah repent to bring him back The next lesson is, if you are swallowed by a whale, do not grieve, do not fear, do not really grumble against the Lord. And make sure and have rest assured that God has authority over the whale. The whale doesn't have authority over you. God has authority over the whale. You may be swallowed by the whale, but you're going to come out unharmed, like Jonah. He came out alive. So that's the second lesson. Jonah ended up thrown by the whale on dry land. What did he do? He took himself right away, went to Nineveh, and proclaimed the word of the Lord. What was the word of the Lord? Few words. That's the main prophecy in the prophecy of Jonah. 40 days, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's the only prophecy that Jonah gave to the Ninevites. Imagine. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What a short message. But the Ninevites had the heart to believe the word of God. Their heart was a good soil. They believed the word of God, and they acted upon it. They believed the word of God. So what did they do? They proclaimed a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And Nineveh repented. The men of Nineveh, see our Lord Jesus Christ, how did he talk about the men of Nineveh? He told us, the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. So they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Perfect. They proclaimed the fast. That's great. They put on sackcloth. So they offered God a broken heart. Did they offer God sacrifices? Did they slaughter oxen to the Lord? No. We didn't hear about that. all they offer the Lord is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And God did not despise that offering. After all, that's the fast that the Lord has chosen, and that's the fast that the Lord will accept. That's the only fast that the Lord will accept. See, it's not enough to fast for sin. That would do nothing to us. It is important to fast from sin. That's what they do. And we read in Jonah 3:10 that God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. So when I say repentance requires works, I just simply wanted to say that fasting only is well and good, but fasting only doesn't benefit me or anything. If I don't turn from my evil ways, if I don't have a change of heart, if I don't have a change of conduct, then it's worthless. You think that if the people of Nineveh put on the sackcloth, would God have relented? If they didn't turn from their evil ways, from their violence, from their stealing, from their sexual immorality, from whatever, do you think that God would have relented? No. No. So repentance requires works. The Lord Jesus Christ told us about Nineveh, a Gentile nation that would reproach the Jews. The Lord said, "The men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." So the people of Nineveh will stand in the judgment on the judgment day to condemn people. Do you think they will condemn the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? I think they will. Because also, Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be overthrown, and God told them if they don't repent, they will be overthrown, but they did not repent. Remember Father Abraham? Abraham the patriarch was interceding, right, for their safety. He told God, "God, would you really perish the good with the bad? Would you do that, God? God, maybe there are 50 persons who are good in the city." And we all know the story. And God didn't find anybody. All the way down to 5. Didn't find anybody. Will the people of Nineveh condemn the people of Noah's ark? I think so too. You know, during the era of Noah, the people were mocking Noah because he was building an ark, because he believed the word of God, that God is going to send a flood and he will destroy the whole world because of its wickedness. What did the people do? They did not believe the word of God. They were mocking Noah. You know how many years Noah have been building the ark? 100 years. 100 years Noah took to build an ark. And during these 100 years, the people did not repent. Compare them to Nineveh. They heard the word of Jonah, one prophet, and a stranger. They heard the word of Jonah, and they repented. In contrast, how many prophets God sent to Israel, to his people Israel? How many prophets? Great prophets, mighty in words and deeds, like Isaiah, Elijah. They did not repent. So, repentance needs works. You and me. Like, by now, I think we must have heard, many, many, many sermons. Many sermons. But how would that benefit us if my life doesn't change? If my life stays the same, if my life doesn't reflect the teaching of Christ, if my life doesn't bear the fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, love, peace, long-suffering, patience, if I don't have that, How are the many sermons that I heard all my life benefit me? In fact, these sermons that I've heard would become a condemnation to me. Because I heard only, but I didn't do anything. I didn't work to repent. I didn't offer true repentance like the Ninevites. I want to remind you by the sinful woman and the Pharisee. Take the example of the sinful woman and the Pharisee. I, for one, I would strive to become like the sinful woman. Why? Because the sinful woman who washed Christ's feet and wiped them with her hair did not offer sacrifice. What did she offer? She offered a broken heart. She was so sorry about her many, 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 many sins. She knew that she is indebted to God by so many, because God is holy, and she was a sinner. She didn't deserve. She didn't even dare to ask Christ to forgive her her sins. All she did is she just washed his feet and wiped him with her hair. That's it. And she received the forgiveness for her sins. What did the Pharisee do? The Pharisee is a self-righteous guy. He thinks that he's good. Or maybe he's good enough. Maybe he's better than a lot of other wicked or sinner elsewhere. God, thank you, God, I'm better than the publican, or I'm better than the tax collector. But that's not enough. That doesn't, he doesn't get life to that. He doesn't really, like, you know, get to the eternal life with that attitude. Why? Because he's self-righteous. He doesn't need Christ. He's standing in his own light. A lot of us are standing in our own lights. We feel everything we do is correct. We don't offer repentance. We keep living as we are living. My beloved brethren, I think we should give ourselves every day few minutes to stay with the Lord and give an account daily of everything we've said and done. Well, let's examine ourselves and see if we have been guided by the Holy Spirit, or are we still under the sins and are we still carnal and dead? We need to have that time with the Lord and give that account and ask him to change our heart. Let him in. That's the only way that we can change. One time, an expert of the law went to our Lord Jesus Christ and asked him, "What should I do to inherit the eternal life?" By the way, that's different from the rich lawyer. This one was an expert of the law. And Christ was telling him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" And the expert of the law said, "Yeah, I know. I love the Lord my God from all my soul, my heart, my mind, and my strength, and I love my neighbor as myself." What did Jesus do? What did Jesus reply? He told him, "Do that and you shall live." Do that. So if you want to really repent, you got to think, what are you going to give away? How you're going to change your life? How you're going to change your conduct to be fitting as a holy temple for Christ? When you let him in, he will help you do that. I will give you examples of people who inherited eternal life through repentance. Think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. His life changed after he met Christ. It wasn't only like, you know, that he met Christ, God forgave his sins, and he went back tax collecting or robbing people. He didn't do that. He changed his life. How about Demas, the right thief? How about Saint Augustine? How about Saint Moses the Strong? Great example of repentance. All these people inherited the eternal life through repentance by changing their heart and their conduct. And if we really believe that our sins were forgiven by our Lord Jesus Christ through his cross, through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the atonement sacrifice of our Lord, if we really believe that our sins were forgiven, and if we really believe that we've been granted eternal life through his resurrection, then our life should show that. Our love to the Lord shouldn't be by words, but it should be by act, by deeds. That's why repentance requires works. Lastly, on the fourth chapter, Nineveh repented, but Jonah was angry. Jonah was not happy. He stayed on a hill, and he was anticipating what would happen of the city. Would God send fire to burn the city? He was hoping for that. He wasn't happy at all. But God didn't do that. God relented and accepted the repentance. So he told God, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Imagine, he was so angry, he was questioning the wisdom of God, that he forgave the sins of these sinner Gentiles, and he wanted to die for that. So the Lord, would he leave him? The sailors repented. Nineveh repented. Supposedly, Jonah repented after the whale experience, but it seems like he wasn't repenting 100%. So God initiated the reconciliation with Jonah because God was very much eager to have Jonah repent. God wants the salvation of Jonah too. He is his son. So what did he do? Jonah built himself a shelter. God built Jonah a plant to give him shade. And then God sent a worm, and the worm chewed the plant. And then God sent the wind, and the plant withered. So Jonah was very angry at God. And then that's what God told him at the end of the chapter 4. Let's read this. That's the last sentence, and it ends by question. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for what you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left and much livestock? So he was angry because of that plant that gave you shade for a little while, temporarily. But you haven't sowed the plant, you haven't watered it, you haven't grown it. Why were you angry? And you don't want me to forgive these people, 120,000 people who repented. The heaven would be happy with one sinner repenting. How about 120,000? So that was the question that God ended up asking Jonah. So what is the truth of the matter on everything we said today? It is that. The conclusion is this. Christ looks for the salvation of every one of us. God doesn't want the death of the sinner, but that he returns and lives. We all know that, right? And by the way, the sinner doesn't mean me or just the Christians. The sinner, any sinner in the world, the sinner Muslim, the sinner Jew, the sinner Buddhist, the sinner atheist, sinners. God wants all of them to come to the knowledge of God and to be saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the only way to the Father. As he said, because he is the way, the truth, and life. So let's remember that. Repentance without works is worth nothing. And let's remember that we should not harden our heart when we hear his voice. We should not be like Jonah, you know, who was swallowed by a fish. When we hear the voice of the Lord for us to repent and to return, we have to repent. And if we are swallowed by the fish, we should not despair, knowing that God is going to save us because of his love to us. I'm going to leave you with a few verses from the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet, just to show you how God cares for us and how God loves us. So that's Isaiah. So I'm looking for Isaiah 43. So that's what he says in Isaiah 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That applies to Jonah. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. That applies to the three lads. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight. Look at how God talks about us, and we are the creature. We are dust. We are so much honored and precious in the eyes of the Lord. Said, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you.
اللهم اجعلنا مستحقين لكل شكر أبانا الذي في السماوات. ولأن محبة الله لا يبدأ بكل ودعمة من وحيد ربنا يسوع المسيح شركة موهيت والروح القدس تكون مع جميعكم وتدوم فيكم. امدوا بالسلام. سلام الرب يكون معكم. بكرة إن شاء الله ديكون شاروبيم مقديس مخايل يتكلم من نبوة أشعياء 38 صلاة القوة prayer of strength. بكرة إن شاء الله أيضا لعنده وقت الصبح في قداس من 8:30 ل 11 ويوم الثلاث قداس من 8:30 ل 11.